World climate leaders are gathering in Egypt as we speak for climate talks facilitated by the United Nations in the 27th Conference of the Parties, or COP27. Diplomats will be faced with monumental challenges this year. To get a preview of what we can expect in the weeks ahead, let's bring in Alden Meyer, senior associate at the climate change think tank E3G. He joins us now from Cairo, where he'll be attending COP27, as he has so many years before. Hi, Alden. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane. Great to be with you.
Well, the UN Secretary General has said that this conference must deliver, quote, a down payment on climate solutions that match the scale of the problem. Are there specific goals for the conference in Sharm el-Sheikh this year?
Yeah, there's really three things we're looking for. One is getting countries to build on the commitments they made at last year's COP in Glasgow, Scotland, where they agreed to pursue efforts to limit temperature increases to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which science has established as a real red line beyond which we shouldn't go. Second is they want to help countries that are experiencing devastating impacts of climate change. Just take Pakistan, for example. One-third of the country's population affected by the flooding, $30 or $40 billion in estimated damages, and yet all that's on offer from the U.S., Europe, and other developed countries to help them is in the hundreds of millions, or about 1%. So addressing this issue of what's called loss and damage is going to be front and center. And then third is finance. Climate finance has always been an issue in this process since the beginning, 30 years ago, and both for helping developing countries reduce their emissions of greenhouse gases and cope with the mounting impacts of climate change, finance will be front and center in Sharm el-Sheikh.
Let me ask you about that first goal, because last year at the conference, countries around the world agreed to deliver strong commitments, including updating their plans for more ambitious targets for tackling climate change. But at this point, only 24 of 193 countries have actually submitted those plans to the United Nations. Only 24. That doesn't sound like good progress.
Well, it's not adequate, and many of those are relatively small countries whose emissions are low. The reality is that scientists say to stay below this 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature limit, we need to cut emissions over 40% by 2030. And the kind of incremental progress that we've seen in terms of cutting emissions a couple of percent a year just isn't going to cut it.
Another key issue, as you mentioned, to be tackled at the conference this year is loss and damage. This idea that poor developing nations, which have contributed the least to global warming, are the ones experiencing the first impacts of climate change. Again, last year, not much happened on this point. How do you expect this to be addressed this year?
Well, last year, countries agreed to establish a three-year dialogue process coming out of Glasgow on loss and damage to discuss ways to address this problem. Developing countries, though, are at the end of their ropes. They want action at this meeting. And you've seen some shift in the position of the United States, Europe, and the other big developed countries to say, we acknowledge the system is broken. It's not working. It's not delivering finance and support at the scale that's needed. And we will do something serious to come up with solutions on this issue.
You talk about the commitment needed to match the scale of the need. I mean, it seems to me the elephant in the room is climate finance, which is the third goal you mentioned at the conference. It's likely we will hear a lot about the annual $100 billion promise by developed nations, which is honestly still not being delivered. Wealthy nations committed to this financing back in 2009 in Copenhagen, but they're still not delivering. Is there a chance this pledge could actually become reality in 2023?
Well, we had a report last week on that from Canada and Germany, who had consulted with all the other developed countries. The latest prediction is that developed countries will meet that goal next year in 2023. That's 3 years late. But of course, the bigger problem is that the failure to meet it has eroded trust amongst developed and developing countries. And of course, the $100 billion target from Copenhagen in 2009, more than a decade ago, is not adequate at all to deal with the scale of the need. We need hundreds of billions to address both reducing emissions in developing countries and helping them cope with climate impact. So $100 billion is really just a down payment. And the fact that developed countries haven't even been able to meet that has really eroded trust.
Young climate activists like Greta Thunberg are calling this entire COP27 effort a meaningless greenwashing. Is she right?
Well, there's an element of truth in that. As I've been to most of these Conference of the Party meetings since they started in 1995, and you start to feel like a bit of a serial masochist, like you're repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But on the other hand, we have made real progress. If you see the reductions in the costs of solar technology, electric vehicles, batteries, other clean technologies, they've come down dramatically to the point where they're more cost-effective than fossil fuels in most regions of the world. That's real progress. The problem is we're not doing it fast enough, and that's where Greta and the other youth activists are totally right.
You talk about not making fast enough progress. In fact, a new report out of the United Nations found that global planning, financing, and implementation are not keeping pace with climate change. So how far behind are we, and what's at stake if we don't do more now?
Well, those latest reports indicate that if we don't change course, we're likely to see temperatures increase by more than 2 degrees, and in some cases, almost 3 degrees centigrade. That would be truly catastrophic. Just think of the impacts we are now experiencing around the world, the droughts, the wildfires, the floods, the typhoons and hurricanes, and we're only at 1.2 degree increase over pre-industrial temperatures. So the scale of what we will be facing and leaving to our children and grandchildren if we don't take action is truly devastating. And hopefully that will concentrate minds and get people to focus at what's at stake here.
Alden Meyer is Senior Associate at Climate Change Think Tank E3G. Alden, thanks so much for being here, and we look forward to speaking with you in a couple of weeks when the conference wraps up.
Thanks, Jane. It was great to be with you.